Thank you, Mr. Mastin. Well, the lyrics to those three songs you picked, I might as well get down now. You've already heard. You pretty much heard the message. But the title of this message is Eating the Unleavened Word. As Jesus became our Passover lamb, sometimes do we wonder, what is our Passover lamb up to? What is he up to? He's doing his Father's will, right? As he told us in John 14, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, right? John 14. He said, if it wasn't so, I would have told you. He's telling his disciples, if that wasn't true, I would have let you in on that. But I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I will come again to receive you to myself. That, and this is the key point right here, that where I am, this was his desire, his heart's desire. Where I am, there you may be also. And where you go, where I go, he told them, where I go, you know the way. You know the way. And Thomas said, leave it to Thomas, right? Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said, hey, Tom, guess what? I am the way. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I am the life. The Word was saying that he is the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus was telling his friends and disciples, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also, right? And from now on, you know him and you have seen him. Jesus said, you know the Father because the Father's in me. I am in the Father, and he in me. Now, because of that, you know the Father. He told his friends that they knew the Father because they knew him. In verse 12, he said, most assuredly, truly, I say, he who believes in me, now get this, the works that I do, he will do also. He was telling his disciples and his friends, the works that he does, you will also do. Not only that, but greater works than these will you do, because I'm going to my Father, he said. When is the last time you healed someone or raised someone back to life? Watch out. Those who believe in Christ, greater works than these will he do, because he went to his Father to enable us to do those things, to do those greater works. That's how this can happen. And this is the other way that this can happen. How can this happen? Verse 13, he said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. That, why? Why would he do that? He said that the Father may be glorified through me, in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. we need to be aware of and believe in and humbly honor the fact that this is truth. This is the truth. He will do it if we ask it in His name. He told him, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I'll pray the Father, and He will give you the Helper, another Helper, that He may abide with you forever. So the Helper that Christ was sending will abide with us. The Holy Spirit will abide with us, in us forever. He said, verse 17, the Spirit of truth that the world can't receive because it doesn't see or know God, but you know Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you through this Spirit of truth. That's how we've even come to be here today on this holy day, on a Wednesday. That's how we've come to be here. He dwells in you. Jesus said, I'll not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while, you won't see me anymore. The world will not see me, but you will see me. He told his friends and disciples, plan on seeing me. Because I live, you will live also. Because I live, you also will live. When he was telling them in John 15 about him being Jesus Christ, he said, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser, right? Every branch that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Sometimes we get anxious about those prunings we live through, right? But we have to trust his heart because he is pruning those who bear fruit even, that we may bear more fruit. Abide in me and I in you. But he said, in verse 3, John 15, you are already clean. You're already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. The title of this message, Eating the Unleavened Word. You are clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. Branch can't bear fruit on its own unless it's attached and abiding in the vine, right? And you can't either, he said. Neither can you unless you abide in me. If you abide in me and I in you, if I abide in you, watch out. You will ask whatever you desire and it shall be done for you. By this the Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So that way you will be my disciples, by abiding in him and he in them, in us, bearing much fruit. As the Father loved me, I loved you. He loved his friends, and he loves us just as the Father loves him. If you keep my commandments, right, you will abide in my love. Just as I kept my Father's commandments, he said. He left them that example of keeping his Father's commandments, of abiding in his Father's love. He said, verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. I loved you just like my Father loves me and loves you. So that's my command to you as disciples to us as disciples, that we love one another as he loved us, as his Father loves him and loves us. You are my friends, verse 14, if you do whatever I command you. And he commanded them to eat his flesh and drink his blood, did he not? You are my friends if you do what I command you. And then back in John 6, when the Passover was near, the disciples came. Remember this story. The disciples came. They went down to the sea, and they got into the boat, and they were going across the sea toward Capernaum, and it was dark. They had already rowed 3 or 4 miles out across the sea, right? And they saw Jesus walking on the sea, and they were afraid. Here's a man walking in the middle of the night, walking on the sea. And they were afraid, and he said, it's I, don't be afraid. We oftentimes think about this story in this section that the miracle was Christ walking on the water, right? Here is the greater miracle. Soon as they let him in the boat and acknowledged that they were going to do what he commanded, don't be afraid, it's I. When they willingly received him into the boat, what happened? Verse 21, immediately the boat with all of them in it was at the land where they were going. That is the real miracle. On top of him walking on the water, the boat with all of them in it instantly was at the destination where they were going. So when they got there, they said, what could we do that we can work the works of God too? How can we do those things? You said greater works than these we will do. How can we do those things? What was his answer in verse 29? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he, the Father, sent. This is the work. It's about helping others believe in whom the Father sent, in believing in and eating the flesh of the unleavened bread. Because he said, Moses gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread. Here I am, he said to them, my Father is giving you the true bread through me. He said, the bread of God is what? It's he who came down from heaven and gives life to the world. He was the unleavened bread that came down from heaven by his Father's will, doing his Father's will in order to give life to the world. And they said, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, right? And whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Whoever comes to me and believes in me will never hunger or thirst. He said, whoever believes in me has everlasting life. Not will have. Has everlasting life. Whoever believes in me has everlasting life. Why? Verse 48, because I am the bread of life. He flat out told them, I am the unleavened bread of eternal life. I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he'll live forever. Every one of us have this living unleavened bread in us through him and his Father's will. this unleavened bread of eternal life. And we can continue eating this unleavened bread even after today, after we've learned these symbols and been reminded of them again another year. Following the lessons that he showed to his disciples in the next verse, they were quarreling among themselves. How can he give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus said, I say to you most assuredly in verse 53, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. You're going to die. Their life is going to end. Except whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood, his unleavened bread and his spirit, has eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Because he said in verse 55, my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood does what? Abides in me. And I in him. That's why we do these symbols every year and remember them throughout the year, practicing the consumption of unleavened bread for 7 days and practicing the consumption and eating of the unleavened bread of the Word throughout the rest of the year, as we have reminded ourselves this year. He said, as the Father sent me, I live because of the Father. He was giving God the Father credit for his life, his eternal life. And so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like your fathers ate the manna, and they're dead. They ate manna. Bread from heaven, literally, physically. But they died. But he who eats this bread, Jesus said, will live forever. So we need to remember to eat the word of unleavened bread. Notice in John chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus told them what the word of unleavened bread was. He said, the spirit gives life, but the flesh profits nothing, right? The words that I speak to you are spirit. That's how you have eternal life. He said, the words that I speak to you are spirit, and they, the words, are life. That's how this happens. What was Isaiah's message to Israel? To Jacob and Ephraim. In Isaiah 9:17, everyone's a hypocrite. We can see that all around us every day, can we not? Everyone is a hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaks folly. For all this, God's anger is not turned away, but his hand is still stretched out. What did Jesus tell us in Luke 12:1? Watch out. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is what? Hypocrisy. What is hypocrisy? It's a word from which in the Greek comes the word actor. Hypocrisy. It's acting, even acting like you're good, even though you're not, right? Even though you're soiled, profane, and godless. Jesus said, watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees. Let's keep the feast, Paul said to the Corinthians, right? Not with the old leaven, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Not hypocrisy, but sincerity and truth. God gives us this Passover reminder every year because he is faithful to us, right? He is faithful, and his mercies are new every day. Lamentations 3, we know God's mercies are new every day, and great is his faithfulness. We can memorize the three numbers of hope. 3, 1, 6. John 3:16, right? The three numbers of hope. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should have everlasting life. Jesus has a word of explanation for us. Whoever. Verse 36 of that chapter says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son, God's wrath remains on him. Matthew 10:32. Whoever acknowledges me, Jesus said, before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. There he is sitting at the Father's right hand. Father, look. Look at those people of ours, those children of yours that you called. And they cannot come to you except through me. But look at them. God acknowledges that they are his children. We are his children. Because we acknowledge him before the Father. And whoever does the will of God, whoever does the will of God. Mark 3:35, Jesus said, whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister. Jesus said, we are all his brothers and sisters if we do the will of God the Father. We know that God is patient, right? Who else in all the universe would not exercise the fourth fruit of the Spirit, patience, right? Thus, the word whoever can also include wherever. In other words, wherever the sheep has gone astray, wherever you have left, gone off in the weeds, it's not too far to come back to him. Right? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? It's not too far to come back to him with a contrite heart, just like the example written for us in the life of David. And we can ask the prodigal son, same question. He told his father he wasn't worthy. I'm not worthy to be your son. So we need to humbly strive to be counted worthy, to be on God's whoever list. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. That's another reason we keep this Passover every year, to revere our Passover lamb that makes all of this possible, this eternal life and this spirit within us. Whoever believes in me, he told Martha in John 11, right during the Lazarus incident, chapter 11 of John, Jesus said to Martha, whoever believes in me will never die. We might die a physical death, but we'll never die the eternal death. And he said to Martha, do you believe this? Martha, do you believe this? Peter wrote his letter in which he said in 2 Peter 1:19, We have this prophetic word confirmed that we can look to and listen for as like a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns. What day is that? The day that dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. The morning star will rise in our hearts, as Peter said in 2 Peter 1:19. In Revelation chapter 2, we could see that Christ was admonishing a corrupt church, Thyatira. In verse 25, he said, "Hold fast until I come, and he who overcomes and keeps my works to the end, to him I will give power over the nations, and he'll rule them with a rod of iron and dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. This I've received from my Father," he said, and Jesus told them, "and I will give him the morning star." What is the morning star? In Revelation 22, the last chapter of the Bible, we see verse 16, Jesus told us through John, writing that book, that he said, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root, the offspring of David. I am the morning star, the bright and morning star." Jesus said, "I am the bright and morning star." And he said, "I will give you the morning star. I will give you my life." He gave his life for us, right? That's why part of what we celebrate and memorialize this season. So we need to continue to endure and strive to the end and be his called, chosen, and faithful. Those that have the bright and morning star in our hearts through his Spirit abiding in us and us abiding in him. So we can heed the words of Paul to those in Colossia in chapter 3, verse 12. "Therefore, as the elect of God, the elect of God, holy and beloved." Brethren, we are holy and beloved. We cannot forget this as we go through the rest of the year, thinking of this unleavened bread we've partaken of the body of our Savior, who gave us this bright and morning star of himself. Let's continue enduring to the end. And as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on, what are the attributes of the elect? Tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering or patience. These are attributes of God's Spirit that the elect shine out as bright lights, shining that bright star that dwells within us through his Spirit. So we can see the purpose and the blessing of eating the unleavened bread of the Word, who was with God. The Word was God. And we eat his flesh and memorialize that through this Passover season. Have a wonderful holy day, brethren. Many blessings to you all.